The Dark Web Files. Exposing the internet's hidden underbelly.
What if the code to rewrite life itself was for sale? Not in a high-tech lab, not for millions of dollars, but listed right next to stolen credit cards and illegal weapons in the darkest corners of the internet.
You know, Mark, that's the question that's been keeping me up at night, preparing for this. I've spent years reporting on the incredible promise of gene editing. The potential to cure diseases we thought were untouchable. It's breathtaking. But the idea of that same power, that same technology, being sold without rules, without oversight, it's genuinely terrifying.
It is. For me, it's the convergence. It's where this revolutionary Nobel Prize-winning science collides with the clandestine, anonymous world of the dark web. It's a story about the future of crime, but it's also a story about the future of what it means to be human. And it's happening right now, in the shadows.
Exactly. And that's what we're diving into today. We're going past the headlines about CRISPR and into the forums and marketplaces where biohacking isn't a theoretical risk, it's a commodity. We're going to explore the burgeoning industry of unregulated genetic engineering.
We'll look at the risks, the players, and the shocking reality of what's being bought and sold. And later, we have someone who's been there, a former insider who has agreed to speak with us, to pull back the curtain on this invisible sequence.
So, the question we're asking today isn't just, what if this technology falls into the wrong hands? The question is, what is already happening now that it has?
And what's happening is, well, it's less like a Bond villain buying a supervirus and more like a decentralized, open-source marketplace for biological chaos. It's not one big scary product. It's the components. It's the knowledge.
The components? You mean like you can literally go on one of these sites and order a vial of Cas9 protein next to a stolen identity?
Not just the protein. That's almost the easy part. The real commodity is the guide RNA, the specific sequence that tells the Cas9 protein where to cut. That's the intellectual property. That's the targeting system.
So, you're not buying the weapon, you're buying the coordinates, the blueprint.
Precisely. You see listings for guide RNAs that allegedly target genes associated with anything. Things we've seen in legitimate research, like the genes involved in sickle cell disease or Huntington's, but they're stripped of all context, all safety protocols.
My God. So a biohacker, someone working in a garage lab, could buy a sequence that's supposed to target the mutation for, say, cystic fibrosis. But who's checking that work? Who's verifying that sequence is correct, or that it won't have devastating off-target effects?
No one. That's the business model. There is no peer review on the dark web. There's just a vendor rating, like on any other illicit marketplace. You're trusting an anonymous entity named, I don't know, Genie 42, that the code they've sent you won't accidentally edit a tumor suppressor gene out of existence.
Which is a known risk, even in the most controlled, legitimate clinical trials. The text we were looking at mentioned P53-mediated apoptosis. Basically, the cell's self-destruct mechanism kicking in because of the DNA break. Or worse, the immune system reacting violently to the delivery system, which is often a virus.
And these vendors, they're selling DIY kits with those same viral vectors. Adeno-associated viruses, lentiviruses, things that require immense expertise to handle safely. They're being packaged and sold as if they're model airplane kits.
So you have a completely unverified genetic sequence, delivered by a potentially dangerous virus, being sold to anonymous buyers who may or may not have any idea what they're truly handling. What could possibly go wrong?
And it's not just about curing diseases. That's the noble-sounding pitch. But we're also seeing the emergence of, let's call them enhancement packages, sequences that claim to target genes for muscle growth, for endurance.
Oh, of course. The athletic doping angle. It's the next frontier after steroids. Why inject a hormone when you can, in theory, edit your own cells to produce more of it?
It's a terrifying thought. But what's even more immediate, and maybe more realistic, is the negative application. Not creating something, but destroying it. Think about it. What's easier, a complex edit to improve a function, or a simple snip to break one.
You mean a targeted poison, a biological weapon that doesn't target a person, but a population's food source, for instance. You could design a sequence to target a gene crucial for disease resistance in a major crop, like wheat or rice.
It's all just code, and that code is for sale. You don't need a billion-dollar state-sponsored lab anymore. You just need a laptop, some cryptocurrency, and a mailing address.
And a complete disregard for the consequences. Because the scariest part of an off-target effect isn't just that it might harm the individual. It's that if this is used in a germline context, that mistake, that error, becomes heritable. It gets passed down.
And that word, forever, is the part that truly changes the game. It's not like a bad drug that gets metabolized and flushed out of a system. This is a permanent edit to the source code, which really makes you wonder about the mindset of the people on the other side of the transaction.
Right. Who is Gene Genie 42? Is it a disgruntled postdoc from a major university? Someone who sees a market for un-FDA-approved hope?
That's one profile we see emerging. They have the technical knowledge. They know how to synthesize guide RNAs, how to culture the viral vectors. But maybe they washed out of a PhD program. Or they feel the scientific establishment is too slow, too bureaucratic.
Or too ethical.
They see a demand, and they have the supply. And on the dark web, there's no institutional review board. There's no ethics committee.
It's this strange, almost libertarian anarchist ideology fused with pure, cynical capitalism. The idea that this power shouldn't be gatekept by big pharma or government agencies. But the solution isn't careful democratic oversight. It's selling it next to fentanyl.
And the sales pitches reflect that. They co-opt the language of empowerment. Take control of your own biology. Democratize genetic destiny. It sounds revolutionary until you realize it's just a sales funnel for a product with no quality control, no guarantee, and absolutely no liability.
Which brings us to the other side of that screen. Who is clicking add to cart on this stuff? I mean, I can try to imagine the headspace of someone so desperate. A parent with a child who has a 1-in-a-billion genetic disorder, and they've exhausted every legitimate medical avenue.
And that desperation is precisely what these vendors prey on. They know that for some people, a 1-in-a-million shot, even from an anonymous source, feels better than a 0% chance from the medical establishment.
But the risk? You're not just risking your money on a scam. You're risking your child's life on a completely unknown biological agent. The viral vector alone could trigger a fatal immune response. The guide RNA could be faulty and cause, God, it could cause cancers. It could do anything.
Anything. And that's the best case scenario for the other type of buyer. The ones who aren't desperate. The ones who are biocurious. The grinders. The transhumanists. The people who want to engineer themselves to see in the infrared, or to have myostatin-inhibited muscle growth.
The enhancement crowd. That feels different. It's not driven by desperation. It's driven by ambition. By a kind of hubris. The desire to be the first, to be more than human, without any of the guardrails.
And they operate with a staggering level of confidence. You see them in these forums, sharing their research, their self-experimentation logs. They talk about it like they're overclocking a computer, not editing the fundamental blueprint of a living being.
There's a terrifying detachment from the consequences. It's a system where the sellers have no accountability and the buyers have a profound, almost willful misunderstanding of the risks they're taking. It's a perfect, terrifying storm of supply and demand.
And that storm, it's what sticks with me. It's not just a marketplace. It's a new kind of ecosystem, one that feeds on the two most powerful human emotions, desperation and ambition. They've created a supply chain for both.
And there's no off-ramp. Once that code is out there, once the knowledge of how to use it is packaged and sold, you can't just unshare it. It's not a physical weapon you can seize in a raid.
Exactly. It's information. And information, especially on the internet, doesn't like to be contained. So it leaves me with this really unsettling question. What do we even do? How do you regulate a thought? How do you police a sequence of letters that can be sent in an email?
I don't think you can. Not in the traditional sense. You can't build a firewall against an idea. For me, the only path forward is, well, it's about outcompeting the darkness. It's about making the legitimate science, the safe science, more accessible, more transparent, and faster.
So you fight bad information with better information?
With better systems. If the reason people turn to Gene Genie 42 is because the official channels have told them there's no hope, then maybe we need to fix the official channels. We need more compassionate access programs, more funding for rare disease trials. We have to shrink the market that desperation creates.
That's a hopeful way of looking at it. I confess, I'm a bit more cynical. I think the genie is out. The knowledge is democratized, for better or worse. And my lingering fear is that we are just one catastrophic mistake away from a public backlash that could set the legitimate, life-saving research back for decades.
Oh, 100%. One garage experiment gone wrong, one enhancement that causes a cascade of tumors, and the public trust, which is already fragile, could just evaporate. It's an incredible weight on the shoulders of the real scientists doing this work carefully.
It is. And so I guess we're left here, staring at this incredible, Nobel Prize-winning tool that can save lives, and its dark reflection being sold in the shadows. A technology that is simultaneously the best of us and a vehicle for our worst impulses.
It's the ultimate dual-use technology. It's a scalpel and it's a shiv, and the only difference is the intention of the hand that holds it.
I think that's what we have to remember. The code isn't good or evil. The science isn't good or evil. It's on us to build the ethical guardrails, the societal wisdom, to handle it. And that conversation has to happen out here, in the light. Thank you for joining us on this dive into the invisible sequence.